So today's talk is about Christ consciousness. And in one word, it's about oneness. It's about God. And so Ernest Holmes had a fascination with Jesus. And I think he was very misunderstood in terms of, where he stood in his beliefs, religious beliefs, in terms of Christianity. Or more people tend to think that he was leaning more towards Christianity than any other thing, because he was just so at ease, at home with the teachings of Jesus. And so he actually drew a distinction between Jesus as the man who walked among friends and foes more than 2,000 years ago, and Jesus as what we call the Christ. And the distinction was, he actually said Jesus, the man, is different from Christ, Jesus the Christ, which Christ, as he puts it, is a principle. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today. Jesus the man was and is, if we believe that life is all there is always that continuity in the life that someone has lived, like our good friend Kate. It's a continuation, it's a continuum. And so Jesus the Christ was the great example. He was a teacher, and he literally walked his talk, and he talked his walk. He did that even to the very last, that he did it in such love, in such a peaceful, harmonious way with his own being, his own self. He was at ease with himself. And because he was at ease with himself, he knew the truth within him. He was able to share that so easily with others. However, it's not everyone that believed him. Not every one of his followers was on board with him or had the same faith that he had. So it's like today, we have all these wonderful teachings, and our principle, especially the Science of Mind principle, Ernest Holmes and teachings, Eckhart Tolle, Buddha, all these wonderful New Age teachings, they're great and they serve us. But there are times when also our faith is not there, and the teachings, what good is a teaching, what good is a belief if it doesn't serve us? So it's the same as then as it is now. However, Jesus was a wonderful teacher, and he was a way shower, as Ernest Holmes had put it. He showed the way by being loving. He showed the way by being the sort of a goalpost for forgiveness. He truly knew how to balance his God presence within with the God presence without. He knew how to balance God and living experiences, and he did that so well that it's a marvel. We look at it and we are like, how could he do it? Jesus literally had so much faith, so much belief in his indwelling presence, and so much of that he knew that we could do the same as he did. He believed in us. From 2,000 years ago, Jesus knew that it's the same principle within him that drives him to be and do and to do and be what he is. That is the same principle right here and now that is driving us to be and do who and what we are. So that's a little bit about Jesus. And Christ as the principle is literally a state of conscious union with God. Christ is a universal presence. And so there are a few distinctions that Ernest Holmes literally brought out for us. He says that in our New Thought philosophy or science of mind philosophy and belief, we do not deny the We do not deny the divinity of Jesus. We do not. We accept that. But it is that, I'll read it over. Science of mind, philosophy, and belief does not deny the divinity of Jesus, but it does affirm the divinity of all people. It does not deny that Jesus was the Son of God, but it affirms that all men are the sons of God. Science of mind or philosophy does not deny that the kingdom of God was revealed through Jesus. It was. But we believe that the kingdom of God is also revealed through each one of us, through you and through me. Jesus had perfect faith and consciously used this power and presence within him to perform all types of healings and miracles. So this is the month, this December month is a time when, you know, the idea of Jesus comes floating, and it's very, very predominant in our everyday living. You know, you see all these wonderful flowers, the reds are so outstanding. You know, you would see red in the summer and it's like, doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But you see red in December and it's like, yeah, you know. And you know that there is a Jesus story somewhere around the corner. And so it's a good time to reflect and to think about the birth and rebirth of the man Jesus who walked this earth and who so easily bring us together at this point in time. Even, you know, the real hardcore against Christianity, they also have huge tolerance for Christmas and for Christians and for people who truly appreciate this time, which we call the birth of Christ and the gifts that we bring. You know, the collective consciousness is ready to hear about God, ready to hear about Jesus in particular, the way sure, and of course has more tolerance and give him what is due, which is his birthday and his gifts. So what is the meaning behind the activities, these Christmas, these Yuletide activities? What is the meaning behind it and the man Jesus? Some of the greatest gifts given to us by Jesus were really his powerful words. Words of wisdom, and of course, you know, as if you are familiar with the New Testament and Jesus' words, that he would have spoke in parables also. But the best gift is the beautiful and ultimate understanding of God's Spirit and our relationship to it. That's what I think Jesus brought to us. Jesus embodied and truly lived Spirit. Now, Lorianne's song is about beauty. We talked about the physical aspect of us, which is our color, our shape, our origination, who we are on a physical, outward level. But the gist of the song was truly beneath all of this. There is a beauty that lives on and on and on. Now we can call that beauty love. We can call that beauty peace. We can call that beauty harmony, joy. We can call that beauty anything that is, that would be special gifts that we can bring or we understand God to be. And this is what our core is. Our core, regardless of human beings anywhere in the world, regardless of your religious affiliations or not, it doesn't matter. What truly matters is that there is a presence within. And how do I know that there is a presence within? We know that there is a presence within because when the body is finally laid down to sleep in death, it's just a body. What happened to all that vitality that was there? What happens? What is it, you know? So that's one of my very one of the ways that I can that tells me there must be something more to just our physical experience, and what happens at death has to be, you know, there must be some type of balance that is happening there. So the kingdom Jesus embodied and truly lived spirit. For example, Jesus said, "It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." This kingdom he is referring to is the gift of life to us. And whether we believe it or not, or deny it or accept it, it is eternally given. And this is the same gift of life that is beauty. This is the same gift of life that is joy. This is the same gift of life that whatever quality that you can bring forth or call forth, that is what lives on and on and on. It's spirit within us. So our limited earthbound bodies can be destroyed, as I said, and taken away from us, but life cannot. Life moves on and on and on. It's eliminated, and life is what makes our bodies, our beings, individualize. Life, spirit within us, is what makes us a true living expression of God, right here, right now, in our own perfect ways, in our own everyday living. It is God in us, as us, through us, that's where our beingness comes from. So remember that this life has no beginning and it has no end. It can only be more of itself. So that's why we continue to be bigger and better in our ideas. Things just continue to unfold and explode around us. And things are forever transcending, forever moving from one level to another. And that's what God is. That's what life is. That's what spirit is. That is the core of our being that keeps moving us into different dimensions of living, of our daily experiences. That's what this core, that spirit within us, encourages us to keep moving and keep doing more and more and being more and more. You ever notice that sometimes you're like in a space where there must be more to life? You know, you say that every once in a while that comes up, there must be more to life. And personally, I think that is like a divine urge that keeps moving us forward, because being in a very sedate position or being in a still position is not what God is. God continues to move and unfold, and so it's obviously shown forth in our lives. So Jesus knew that we are all divine beings, and that this kingdom, which is so freely given to us, and I use the word given to us very, very loosely, because it's who we are. It's not given to us, we are it. We are it. And so we can say given to us because it feels as though it's an acceptance. It's a graceful period of truly recognizing that, you know, God in us as us is just so perfect. It's such a beauty that it's almost you know, I am filled with awe when I think of it. And so because of that, that is why we are called divine, because it is eternal, it is kingly, it is I'm looking for words to find. it's regal. It's just who we are, and we are filled with this power, this presence. We are the emanation in our physical form of this power and of this God within, this presence within. So who is the Christ? Who is this Christ? As per Ernest Holmes in The Science of Mind, he said, the Christ is the Son begotten of the only Father, not the only begotten Son of God. It's a big difference. Jesus is, as most of us have known, and including myself, has been the only begotten Son of God. And I think this is where there's, you know, we try to make it a lot clearer, because it's not just one person that has the acceptance of a Father on high. It is all of us. We are all sons. We are all bodies of this one absolute creative force. And so the mystical concept of Christ means universal sonship, as we say also daughtership, because, you know, in the past Ernest used a lot of masculine, but we know what he meant. And so when he says sonship, he also includes women. And so we are the universal idea of what God is. So we often refer to us as members of this one body or of this one mind in God. And so if God is all there is, if everything is God, then we must fit in somewhere. You know? And so if everything is God, and God is all there is, then we must be gods. We must be God and goddesses. Could be a little heavy to swallow just hearing that. But if you look at it on a very realistic level, not with any hierarchy in mind, or any I am better than in mind, but just look at the very plain, simple truth. If God created everything, and God has been the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end, we have played a part in that, because we are here, right here, right now. And we are part of that creative process that we call God. And so so we are referred to as this one body. And because we are in the physical realm, I think that's where body comes in. And we are, if you want to look at it as a more spiritual level, then we can say we are in the one mind of God, because it's everywhere present. So this means that we each consciously embody the concept of being in the one with God. So as we partake of the Christ nature, to that degree, Christ is revealed through us. And to that degree, we become the Christ. We believe that Christ comes alike to each one of us, all of us. So the more we embody the indwelling spirit, the more we embody that God is who we are, even at its more basic level. If we embody that and we continue to focus and and believe and just emanate what God is, then the more we do that is the more we unfold, the more our will of knowing and being God is revealed. And so this is where we become more and more of what God is, which they normally would say it's the Christ. We must understand that Christ is not a person. Christ is a principle. This is something we really need to feel and to receive and to embody. Because if we embody that Christ is a person, then we start looking at the one and not knowing that we literally have the one within us. So it was impossible for Jesus not to have become the Christ, though, because as the human Jesus gave way to the divine within, Jesus the man gave way to God. So he did so many remarkable things because of his awesome faith, because of his awesome belief, that the more he did, the more he embodied what God is the more he seemed to show and to be more incarnated on the earth. And this is what the followers saw, this is what the people saw, and this is what we know and remember and feel within our hearts, that God, Jesus, literally was in such a loving space that it's imbued throughout, you know, the years. And Jesus is still such a prominent figure in our minds because of the love that he has portrayed, and the forgiveness, and the harmonious way which he pulled all things together. So Jesus the man became a living embodiment of the Christ. Now, when we study or think about Jesus, this is an excellent way to remember him. He was a living example. He was a way shower. He was a great teacher, maybe even the greatest teacher. And he lived his truth. He demonstrated to others how easily it is to also live their truth. So he had example after examples, in the New Testament about miracles and healing powers. He had the audacity to stand in front of a crippled man who for years and years have been lying on a mattress in the marketplace, begging alms, people disregarding him. Jesus had the audacity to say, "Arise and walk." Now, what faith? He knew he was going to get up and walk. He didn't come from a space of humanness. He came from a space of knowing that within him there was the power that it's all perfect. It's already perfect. He did not see a crippled man. And again, if it's all love, then there is no space in love to see anything else but perfection. If it is all life, then there is no space in life that we can see anything else but life. Now, on the physical level, we have death. But death doesn't come about because there is an absence of life. There's an absence of life in the body. The body dies. The body is like the earth. It goes back to where it came from. But life can never die. Life lives on and on and on and on. Life is beauty that lives on and on, that makes us who we are, that moves us from one space to the other, that encourages us to be really nice and to give great gifts at Christmas. It encourages us to be a friend to the hungry. It encourages us to do all these wonderful things at Christmas to others. You know, at the celebration center, they are receiving teddy bears because they are giving them to the fire services and to police officers, and they are basically for children who get into, you know, injuries or trauma in whatever way, so that they can at least give a teddy bear imbued with love from the congregation, so they can hold on to that until something else happens. So this is what the beauty in us reveals. It opens us to being more and more and being more and more in Christ, knowing that the indwelling presence is truly what pushes us, is the engine of our bodies, of our souls. So as the human gives way to divine in all people, they too become the Christ. And Jesus knew this, and he knew definitely how to balance this indwelling presence and the warring world around him. He, with all that, can still say, "Peace, be still." And everything got stilled around him. Jesus knew that in raising the dead, he literally went to the tombstone and raised Lazarus. He brought one of the centurion's daughter back to life. Quote, quote. Was she ever dead? No. Life can never die. But he was so strong in his faith and determination that the indwelling presence is perfect, and what he calls forth has only to be perfect. He knew that it will always be a wonderful experience on the other end. So his faith was amazing. His belief in God, he always shared that I and my Father are one. This is almost like a core speech for Jesus. He always mentioned that I and my Father are one. And the same things I do, you can do and more. Jesus believed in us to do, and this again is the expansion of spirit. Because 2,000 years ago, he did miraculous things, and obviously it was for the times that he were in. But there are so many other things that are happening. We may call it miracles, but it's just the expansion of spirit that is taking place in this world today. And so the presence is here right now in the shapes of each one of us. This indwelling presence chose the forms that it has chosen, that I'm seeing right now. Each one of you, to be the most, to be the best expression of God right here, right now. We are not mistakes. Everything has happened. Everything is absolutely chosen, just the way we are, as an expression of God. And when our bodies are tired with where we are or what the soul came forth to do, then we move on. It's simple, it's easy. And it's easy to accept, because knowing that life can never die and life continues to live on forever makes a huge difference. So what we are talking, the presence is in, as I say, the furniture, the carpet, everything. Everything is God. And why am I saying that the carpet is God? Why am I saying the basket is God? Why am I saying the light is God? It's only because thoughts become things. And so, even if these carpet, whatever, the lights were not present 2,000 years ago, the constant unfolding of God, the constant thought process, the constant being more and more of who God is, continues to expand. And so a man has his thoughts, a woman has their thoughts, and guess what happens? Ah, I think I can make a light bulb. And Edison did that, you know. He tried and tried and different things, different times, you know, over and over and over again. And voila, here is Edison. His thoughts became things. And this is exactly what happens. The carpet is imbued with what God is. It is from the thought into manifestation, into energy, and voila, we have a finished product. So truly, everything is God. God within, God without. Our bodies, as we release them, goes back to earth. And what happens? Everything else takes care of it. The insects, the animals, whatever it is, it just goes right back to basic. And life continues. We do feel grieved because there is a physical presence of our loved ones. But it's not a grief that is so depressing that it's like we can't get over it. It's a grief, and it's also at the same time an understanding that it's the expansion of life. It is God in expression. And so as I'm about to wrap this talk up, Jesus never thought of himself as different from others. His whole teaching was about what he did and how he did it for the good of his followers, for the good of his community, even for the good of the ones who truly sought him to kill him. They in their hearts knew that probably what they were doing was trying to get rid of someone who was usurping the attention of so many other people and not the attention of kings and emperors. So I don't know the story very well. So. So he had to believe that there was no division or hierarchy between him and us. Otherwise, he would not leave the truth that he left. And the truth he left was God. As the truth he left was, first of all, these things you can do, and you can do more than I did. And another truth, a really wonderful truth, is I and my Father are one. And so you can do these things so much more than I did them, if you have the faith, if you have the belief. And so he understood what oneness was. Jesus understood that. The same knowingness he had, we have that knowingness. We are equipped with the same sonship, daughtership that Jesus had more than 2,000 years ago. He said, I and my Father are one. He believed this, and he believed it for us. He told us, he said, you can do it. And so he knows we can perform miracles if we believed it. So how do we do that? How do we perform miracles? First, by turning inward to that living presence within us, which is Spirit, which is God, which is Allah, which is, call it by whatever name you want. Then recognize this power, this indwelling presence, as the one and only power in the universe. Then consciously unify with it. If God is everywhere present, if God is all there is, then I am. And that's the unification that Jesus had. You get to that point and the rest is gravy. You can say and speak your word and truly know that it comes from the power within that reveals all things to us and to bring all things into our lives. So you declare your word to be the presence, the power, and the activity of God. and then speak your word with belief in this power and from this space, from the power within. Speak it from there, because we know in speaking your word, the minute the thought is conceived, there is a law that has already received it and brings it back to us fulfilled. So believe that that law is a servant of our thoughts, of our spirit. Believe that our thoughts and your words, your request, your asking will come to fulfillment. Believe that there is one perfect life flowing in you, through you, and as you. Believe you are it. Jesus located God and the kingdom within himself. And so must we. Thank you.